Heavenly Father, as we just pause here in the safety of this building, as we just try and concentrate on you, as we try to allow your Holy Spirit to be the major influence in our hearts and our minds right at this moment in time, we ask that as we open your word, that it would do what you intended it to do, to speak into our lives, to challenge our thinking, to impress upon our hearts your ways. And Lord, as we allow you to do that, we just pray that, that we'd never be the same again. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. We are in a series titled Jesus Plus Nothing Equals Everything. Now, after the service last week, someone challenged my theology. That very rude person said to me, the equation for you, Greg, is Jesus plus Carlton equals everything. I didn't know that anybody here knew that I barracked for Carlton. That was quite a mystery to me, but we'll accept that. Now, we did lose last night. Everybody that sort of is a little bit interested in football, we did lose last night, so we're not in the grand final, which is actually a real relief for me, I'm telling you. As I was thinking, perhaps we might get into the grand final. I'm not working there next week, if that's the case. I'm actually going to get a ticket and I'm going to watch my team in the grand final for the first time ever. And I was so excited about that. And then I had this shocking dilemma. What about Sunday morning? Because if we had a won, I wouldn't have been here, I'm telling you right now. I would have been celebrating with my 50,000 new best friends. And if we had a lost, I'd be deep in the bowels of the MCG, sulking. So we lost last night. That solved that problem. So we don't have to worry about that. It's all sorted now. So Jesus plus nothing. Let's get serious. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Now, last week was just a bit of an introduction to the series. And it's a reminder. It was a reminder to us that it is so easy to add other things into our faith that actually squeeze Jesus out. And I hope you noticed that the things that I talked about last week, they were all out of the Bible. And we can make some of those things, we can make that everything. And sort of Jesus just a little bit to the side somewhere. So hopefully last week was just that reminder, just to set the scene that there, Jesus plus nothing. Jesus does not need any additions. He doesn't need any additions. And thank you, Mark, for this morning. That just, it's all of those songs just focusing in on Jesus and just helping us to focus our hearts on the central issue of our faith, which is Jesus. Now, today's message title is The Getting of Wisdom. Now, that may or may not be the title of a book or a movie or a stage show. I'm sure I've heard that somewhere along the lines, and to be honest, it is. So I've stolen that, and if anybody is concerned about that, then just pray. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 to 31. I'm not going to read it all, but I am going to read a little bit in just a minute, a few parts of it that I'm going to select out of there. But in that letter to Corinthians, the Apostle Paul, this is chapter 1, so he's given an introduction about himself, and then he launches into what he wants to say for the rest of the book. And it's a reminder to the Corinthians, and that passage, when you start to tease it out and pull it out, when you get right into it, the Apostle Paul is saying to the church at Corinth, Jesus plus nothing equals everything. That is exactly what he's saying in that passage. Now, it is a bit of a mind bender when you try to read through that. He's talking about wisdom and this wisdom and that wisdom and some other wisdom. You do have to concentrate on it to really work out what he's saying. That's why I'm not going to read the whole thing, because I don't want us all sitting here sort of puzzling through it. And I've just picked out the bits that really crystallizes what he's trying to say in those passages. But what he does, what the Apostle Paul does, he picks up a couple of the pagan religious ideas that the city of Corinth was surrounded by, and it's become the culture of the church as well. And we would know all about that because of the crew, so I don't need to explain anything more about that. But the verse that I really want to pick out, and I'm going to focus in particular on next week, is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. And the Apostle Paul writes to this church, he says, you are in Christ Jesus. He's talking to the Christians. He's talking to the church. You are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Now, when the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the church at Corinth, the pagan religions of the day, they taught that there was a secret knowledge. There's a secret knowledge that a person has to have, and when you get this secret knowledge, you start off with a little bit of knowledge, like everything else in life. You start off at the basics, and you build up this knowledge. This is the pagan religion, not the Christian one. You build up the knowledge, and you learn things, and you learn things, and you learn things, and eventually you get to the point where you know so much about this stuff, about God, that all of a sudden you just open yourselves up, and then you have access to God. This is the pagan religion of the day. And if you don't get to this secret knowledge, if you don't build up your wealth of knowledge, then you never get access to God. So this is the pagan religion of the day that Paul writes into in the culture. And it's in this passage, chapter 1, verses 18 through to 31, the Apostle Paul, he's arguing against the thought that secret wisdom gets you to God. He says you don't have to learn a whole heap of secrets to get to God. He says the only wisdom that you need is Jesus. He says Jesus has become for us wisdom. And that's what he's addressing. You don't need to learn all these things and then you become super Christian or something like that. He says all you need is Jesus. In other words, Jesus plus nothing equals everything. So 1 Corinthians, just going to read it, said a few select verses out of here. And I'm reading from the Message because the Message puts it really well and sort of took away the mind-bending stuff. It just set it out quite nicely. The message that points to Christ on the cross seems like sheer silliness to those hell-bent on destruction. But for those on the way of salvation, it makes perfect sense. Since the world, in all its fancy wisdom, never had a clue when it came to knowing God, God in His wisdom took delight in using what the world considered stupid, preaching of all things, to bring those who trust Him into the way of salvation. While Jews clamor for miraculous demonstrations, and Greeks go in for philosophical wisdom, we go right on proclaiming Christ, the crucified. Human wisdom is so cheap, so impotent, next to the seeming absurdity of God. Human strength can't begin to compete with God's weakness. Weakness. Nothing much has changed, has it? 2,000 years later, that could have been written straight into the culture in Victoria. In our culture, faith in Jesus is foolish. Have you worked that out yet? You worked that out from the people that you talk to and the places where you work? As soon as you open your mouth and start to talk about Jesus, all of a sudden, you're diminished in the eyes of the people around you. You only have to start a discussion in the lunchroom about Jesus and wait for the reaction. Occasionally, very occasionally in my experience, it's hostile, but it has been known. Often it's ridiculed. Sometimes people just leave the room for whatever reason. I think they might be a bit nervous to join in on that conversation, so they sort of sneak out because they're going to feel a little uncomfortable. But when you start talking about Jesus, most people in Australia think that you are weird. Have you noticed that? And I find that really interesting. I find that really interesting because in most lunchrooms in the workplaces of Australia, there are serious conversations about what your stars say for the day. Have you noticed that? Yep. Happily, big discussion about the stars, and my star says that, let's read what it says, and they read in the stars, and they have a discussion about that, and it says something like this. This is what the stars say. Today will be a day of opportunity, but with some disappointment. You will meet someone who will be important to you, but beware of others who want to hurt you. Every day, in all seriousness, they read exactly the same things, just with different words, day after day after day after day. And they've got these conversations, and they're talking about this, how their stars were so accurate. Well, of course they were accurate, for goodness sake. Every day, every person in the world will have opportunities and have disappointments. And every day we're going to meet people who are going to harm us and people who are going to be nice to us. Of course the stars are accurate. In lunchrooms around Australia, there's serious talk about aliens. In lunchrooms around Australia, there's serious talk about conspiracy theories. Man never landed on the moon. The US government blew up the Twin Towers. The Holocaust never happened. The most absurd conversation in our lunchrooms, that the universe began with a big bang when gases appeared out of nowhere and heated up and exploded and became the universe. Now, I'm so sorry, folks. I simply do not have enough faith to believe in that. I do not have enough faith to believe that there was nothing, the nothing exploded, and all of a sudden we've got the universe. It just doesn't work for me. Why is it that faith in Jesus is ridiculed while it's okay to talk about really weird stuff? The Bible says that the so-called wise are in reality foolish because they ignore Jesus at their peril. And Acts chapter 4 verse 12, it says there is salvation in nobody else. If you want to get to God, there is no other way to do it. You only find your salvation in Jesus Christ. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. It's not secret knowledge, it's not the stars, it's not anything else that people might say. This is the way, because John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now that's either true or it's a lie. You've got to make up your mind about that. There's no options, there's no in between. It's true or it's a lie. And I will believe anyone who dies on a cross and comes to life again 3 days later. You see, what seems foolish to most people in our country is the most important thing in the world. Jesus is the most important person in the world. And his death and resurrection, which seems absurd to the world, is the single most important event in the history of the world. You see, because of Easter, because of what Jesus did on the cross, because of his death and his resurrection, we have life. If you've given your life to Jesus Christ, if you've surrendered all of these things about yourself and said, I want to follow Jesus, if you've come to that point in your life, you have life. You have life in a relationship with God, and that is what we were created for. Right at the beginning, God created people to have a relationship with him. All of that got lost. Jesus died on the cross, rose again from the dead, and he said, if you follow me, you can restore that. You can get back into that relationship with God. So we have life. We have life in relationship with God. We have life in all its fullness. We have life eternal. And it does not get any better than that, because there's no additions. There's no additions. This is what is available to every single person on the planet. But people still scoff. And people say that we are the stupid ones. Jesus is the wisdom. You don't need to get wise about anything else. You can, of course. It's called education. But you don't need to get wise to get to God. I remember when I became a Christian at 19 years of age, I knew nothing. Absolutely nothing. I believed that there was a God. I knew about the Easter story, and I had no clue about what any of that meant, but it was good for a few days off school. I knew about Christmas. I knew that that was sort of Jesus' birthday. Again, had no understanding, no theological understanding what any of those things meant. I knew nothing. But I didn't have to know anything. All I knew was that I needed Jesus. And all that other stuff has come later. So you don't need all this wisdom. Jesus has become the wisdom for us. And that wisdom in the person of Jesus, when we give our life to him, the wisdom becomes wisdom for life. It's not just about me and Jesus. It's about now that it's me and Jesus, there's a whole life to live in Jesus. And in our society at this point in time, crime is an epidemic. Violence is rife. Drug use and abuse is on the increase and all the associated troubles that that causes. Things like death, illicit drugs cause death. That's why they're illegal. Drugs destroy families. Our psych wards are full of people who have mental illness due to using illicit drugs, maybe in the past, maybe continuing, and the list goes on. All the troubles that illicit drugs cause in our society. Get rid of all of that, and our society's going to be a whole heap better, bang, in one instant. Okay? Not as easy as that. Binge drinking is destroying an age group which should be making the most of their youth. Organized crime, bashings, stabbings, shootings, gangs of 12, 13, 14-year-olds are out of control. Teenagers carrying machetes, walking down the street. For goodness sake, for crying out loud. The government is now starting to think, I wonder if we should, control all of this stuff. Just control it. Just right here, right now, say no more. Don't debate it. Just get it off the street. Carloads of teenagers killing themselves on the roads when they steal cars and they crash them trying to avoid the police. In our society, children are the innocent victims of families that are falling apart, going through custody disputes and all the tension that there is between him and her and dragging the kids apart. They're in the middle of all of that. In our society, we've got an epidemic of loneliness as relationships fall apart and people grow old by themselves. In our society, there's a sense of anger, mistrust, and fear on our streets. And the more we push Jesus out of our culture, the more we push Jesus out of our culture, the more we push this wisdom of the Bible out of our culture, the worse our society becomes. And people scoff at Jesus. Men with anger problems are shocked when their families leave and they think Jesus is stupid. In a younger age group these days, people are used to multiple sexual partners before they settle down. And then when they settle down, they find it really difficult to actually settle down and just have one sexual partner. And one thing that I learned when I was working at the caravan centre, and I've told you before that they were pretty rough and ready, some of those people there. They were pretty young. And the one thing that I learnt from them, and it really surprised me, if your partner cheats, it's over. For all that they were before they sort of decided they were getting into a relationship and some sort of permanency in their own mind about all of that stuff, once they got into that sort of relationship, if the partner cheated, it was over. I said, that surprised me. Because of what comes before. People find themselves in jail for all sorts of reasons. And these people scoff at Jesus. Lonely, bitter old people scoff at Jesus. People's lives in our society are falling apart and people still scoff at Jesus. The world's wisdom, it leads to destruction. The wisdom of God, Jesus, is the answer to the world's problems. Because as I look around here, a lot of that stuff doesn't apply to us. Nobody's perfect. Nobody in this church is perfect. We do make mistakes and we do some dumb things sometimes. But by and large, that is not our lifestyle. And by and large, we can wake up in the morning and we can say, life is pretty darn good. Because we've accepted the wisdom of God in Jesus Christ. We're living out the wisdom of God as the Bible explains it to us. And life is pretty good. That's the blessing that comes from being a Christian. 1 Corinthians 1:27 to 31. This is from the New Living Translation. Instead, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. Talking about Jesus here. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. God has united you with Christ Jesus, and for our benefit, God has made him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. Therefore, as the scriptures say, if you want to boast, boast only in the Lord. And while people lurch from one crisis to another because of their rejection of Jesus and his values and his standards, Jesus offers a lifestyle that every single person longs for deep down. If only we could go back to the good old days. Probably heard that, probably said it ourselves. And it's not just a matter of back to my youth and having the energy to do all the things that we did in our younger days. It's not about that. For those people, it's about life was much better. And you know why? Because life was actually centered, or the rules and the regulations that surround our life were centered on the Bible. And little by little by little by little, they're going out the window. All the wisdom that we need to make the most is found in Jesus. And over the years in pastoral ministry, I've come across an interesting thing. It is really hard to reach blokey men. It is really hard to reach blokey men. I think you understand what I mean by that. My conclusion to that is that many of these real men, they think Christianity's weak. I just want to say to you that it takes no courage and no strength to give in to destructive outbursts. I want to say to you that it takes no courage and no strength to go to the pub and drink too much and come home and bash your wife and family. I want to say that it takes no courage and no strength to jump out of your car and frighten the life out of some elderly driver who didn't see you in their blind spot. It takes no courage to blindly repeat day after day after day after day destructive habits that are wrecking your life. It takes a real man to admit that they need help. And in Jesus, all the help that we need is at our fingertips. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Fear of the Lord is not about being afraid or scared of God. Fear of the Lord is about reverence, it's about respect, it's about understanding that the Lord knows best. And when we give Jesus due respect and we trust his ways and we accept those ways and we work hard on adopting those ways into our life so that Jesus' ways become our habit, life goes much better. The one thing that I know as I've gotten older is that the more I live my life the way Jesus wants me to live, the better my life is. It's as simple as that. That's my life experience, because I can look back to pre-19 years of age and understand that my life wasn't as good as I thought it was. And once I stepped out of that, life is good. Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. turning a person from the snares of death. And isn't that the opposite to what most people think? Have you heard this? Oh, if I get too religious, it's going to wreck my life. I've had it said to me by lots of people. If I get too religious, if I start to think about Jesus too much, if I give my life to Jesus, it's going to wreck my life because I can't do this and this and this and this and this and this anymore. And all the this and this and this and this and this is wrecking their lives. People who say that, they're wallowing, they're drowning in a mess, and they call it life. John 10:10 says the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. And as I look around the world that we live in, the devil's doing a pretty good job of stealing, killing, and destroying the lives of so many people. The wisdom of the world says, well, this is normal. This is normal. This is the world we live in. Just accept it. And most of the world just accepts that life sucks. And they scoff at Jesus. Jesus went on to say the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. He went on to say, but my purpose is to give people a rich and satisfying life. Another version calls it abundant life. Another version calls it life in all its fullness. And we make the most of life when we learn to surrender our faulty wisdom to the supreme wisdom of Jesus. So let me give you a bad equation. Life minus Jesus equals trouble. Now, I know that as we look around, there's a whole heap of people, there are millions of people in Australia, they just seem to breeze through life. Everything seems pretty good on the surface. Everything seems okay. They've got all the money they want. They've got all the trappings of life that they want. They never seem to get sick. Nothing seems to happen. But they breeze through life. There's coming a day, folks. Everybody dies. If you didn't know that before, just take my word for it. Everybody dies. And any of these people who just breeze through life without Jesus, they are going to die. Then there's trouble. Life minus Jesus equals trouble. But let me give you the equation. I've been working through it for a little while. Let me give you an equation to build your life on. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Up for it? Building our life on it. Don't stay where you are. I don't care where you are at the minute. I don't care if you're the greatest saint in the world. In this world, we can always get just that little bit better. We can just get that little bit closer to Jesus. We can chip off a few more of the rough edges and we can smooth them out a little bit. And can we live a little bit better the way Jesus wants us to? So I hope this series and I hope this message today, wisdom, what's the wisdom? World's wisdom? Is that what we're running on? The world's wisdom? We're told this, that, and the other thing, which is contradictory to what the Bible says? Well, just grab hold of Jesus, hold tight, stand up for your faith, live your faith as strongly as you possibly can, because that is where you find life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, probably nothing that's been said today is new to us. But from time to time, we need a bit of a reminder. From time to time, the world crowds in. We start finding out, just accepting. Lord, I pray that as we examine ourselves, as we think through who we are in Christ, Lord, help us to step out of those environments and not get caught up in the things that only cause trouble. But Lord, help us to live life in all its fullness, to experience life in all its fullness. to wake up every morning and to know in our hearts and our minds that because of Jesus, we don't have to spiral down into a lot of these pitfalls that are just normal in our society. And Lord, as we think about that, I just want to pray for all those people that surround us, all our neighbours, the people we work with, all those people who don't know you, and at this point in time, they think that Christianity is dumb and that they think the things that we've got to say are not worth listening to. Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit, just in a really powerful way this week, in the places where we work and just wherever we go, that there'll be an opportunity to help somebody to realize that there's a whole heap more to life and that there's a whole better life to be found in you. Lord, I just pray that that you would challenge us with that. Just put us in places where we can have conversations to just chip away at people's understanding of Christianity and to bring them to a point where they realize that they might want to follow Jesus one day too. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.